Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and earned a degree in business administration from Hope College. He worked for Amway for 25 years and rose to senior vice president. Since 1996, he's been the chairman and CEO of the Van Andel Institute, whose mission is to improve the health and enhance the lives of generations to come through disease research and science education. The co-owner and chairman of the Grand Rapids Griffins hockey team, his name, David Van Andel. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to David Van Andel, the chairman and CEO of the Van Andel Institute. David, welcome. A thrill and an honor to have you.
I'm just happy to be here, Jack. Thank you for asking us.
Can we start by talking about first your mom and your dad, Jay and Betty Van Andel?
Well, my parents obviously were a big influence on my life. And growing up in a Christian household with two parents that loved each other and loved their children was very important. Instilling the values that they did, the work ethic certainly that went along with that, but also the value of faith in your life and the perspective that it brings to your life was very important. And watching, I think, firsthand many things that they did together in the community. They were big philanthropists all throughout their lives in the Grand Rapids area and beyond. And then also watching firsthand my father's business that he co-founded with his partner go through all of what it did and grow from, you know, relative obscurity to the big international business that it is today was very intriguing to be that close to both of those things and had a big influence on how I viewed life and from my perspective as well.
Your dad, Jay Van Andel, was really blessed by God, first with a phenomenal mate, Betty, and also with a friend and business partner, Rich DeVos, who you alluded to. Tell us about Rich DeVos.
Well, the two of them met in high school, and as the story goes, this was, got to remember, back during the era of the Depression, and my dad had a car because my grandfather was in the automotive business, and when Rich saw that my dad was driving himself to school and they kind of lived by each other, he approached him and offered to give him 25 cents a week for gas if he would give him a ride to school. And so out of that, you would say almost by chance meeting, a friendship grew that to this day is still one of the best friendships I've ever seen in my lifetime. They not only eventually became business partners, but I think the lifelong friendship was the most important part about their relationship. They were definitely friends first, and they were business partners later, but that friendship blossomed for all the years that I can ever remember.
Because of that phenomenal friendship and partnership, the world has been the beneficiary for the last 50-plus years. David, what's the first memories and recollections about Amway that you can share with us?
Well, having grown up in the business, you know, I never knew anything different. Amway was founded the year that I was born, and it was just this thing, you know, in the early years, it was this thing that Dad did. You know, where does your father work? Oh, he does this thing called Amway. And so it was just kind of natural for us that, you know, this was, isn't this what everybody's dad does? You know, you don't know when you're a young kid and you look at it from that perspective. some of my first memories were certainly going down to visit him for lunch, you know, as a youngster, and eating down there in his office and walking around the then production plant and meeting people. You know, they would have the distributors back then actually come over to the house, and we would have all these interesting people that would sometimes even just be there for dinner or whatever, but they'd have these events, and these people would come to the house, and you'd get to see both sides of the equation, the selling side and the other side of the business that way. And so a lot of really neat memories of that, and a lot of learning experiences along the way as a result of that as well.
How do you explain the phenomenal success of Amway?
I think it touched a theme that is common in just about every culture. And I remember my dad telling me, you know, in the early days, they were doing just as much as he would say cheerleading about free enterprise and free market economies as they were about trying to introduce people to the Amway business. And one of my dad's sayings was always freedom and economic freedom and political freedom are Siamese twins. You can't have one without the other. And he said, you know, there's a common theme here that all people in their hearts really want to be free, and they want to have that economic freedom that goes with the political freedom to be able to pursue their dreams. And so here we've started a business that for back, you know, then and even today, for the price of a pair of shoes, you can get into business and you can do something about that. I remember Rich DeVos saying his father always told him, whatever you do, you need to own your own business. You need to be in business for yourself. And so that was kind of the things that were driving them in the Amway business in the early years, but they had obviously struck on a theme that is innate, I think, with most people, and that is that, you know, given the choice, we want to be free. We want to be doing our own thing, and if we can do that and pursue our dreams, how great is that?
We're talking to David Van Andel, and when we come back, we'll ask him about an idea that started 20 years ago by his mom and dad, and they came up with the idea of Let's Cure Cancer. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with David Van Andel, the chairman and CEO of Van Andel Institute. David, 20-plus years ago, your mom and dad sit down with the family and what are we going to do and how are we going to make a difference? And you talk about reaching for the stars. They decide, let's cure cancer. And because of that, the Van Andel Institute is created. Tell us about the Van Andel Institute, please.
Well, as you mentioned, my parents had kicked around for probably 10 years or more. What should our legacy be? And in 1996, there was a confluence of things that happened. And sat down one day with my father and had a pretty frank discussion with him and said, look, you know, you've talked about this for a long time. Why don't we just do this? You know, we've got some opportunities here. There's some folks that have agreed to help in some key spots. We can get this thing started. Why not do it while you're alive and have some fun with this thing? And I think the best decision he ever made was to say yes, let's do it. So we began, and the institute then began the process of putting together the foundation, if you will, of what it was going to be. We knew that it was going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We knew that it was going to be in medical research. We decided, as you pointed out, let's reach for the stars. Let's go for a lofty goal, and let's, as they say, aim high and see what happens. But we also know that we wanted to have education component with that. My mom had been a school teacher in her early years, and we knew that it would be important not just to be doing the research, but also to be educating our youth in a way that would lead them perhaps into that field as well. So we founded the Institute with those two distinct aspects to it. And in 2000, we dedicated the facility, the first phase of the facility, and we began to hire scientists, and we had our new research director, and, you know, we did all the things that we had to do to put that all together. And now here we are, 13 years hence after that. We've built a second phase. We've added more capacity. We're continuing to add more scientists and educators and all those things that go with that, and we have a tremendous number of programs ongoing. We have a new graduate school that's now part of the Education Institute, and hopefully looking for its accreditation this year. That's been 6 years in the making. We have a new area of research going on now. We branched out into neurodegenerative diseases from the cancer, and we're working on a whole host of other things, but with the focus of always adding value in whatever we do. We always said from the beginning, we're never going to be the biggest, but we can be the best at what we do, and we'll go into areas where we think we can add significant value. I don't want to be doing what somebody else is already doing. I want to be doing things that either nobody's willing to do or nobody's doing much of, where we can move the needle and we can make a difference. And I think we're beginning to see a lot of that happening right now with everything that's happening at the Institute.
The Institute's a fantastic building, and in this huge ground floor, huge lobby, there's a 14-foot glass sculpture by Dale Chihuly entitled Life, in honor of your mom. And on the wall is a quote from your mom. As a teacher, my lifelong dream was to provide a foundation for the children of future generations to follow and realize their dreams. My prayer is that this Education Institute will be the fulfillment of that dream. Betty Van Andel. God works in strange ways. This has become a passion of yours, a vocation, a mission. And when you were 25, you battled cancer. How did that change you, David Van Andel?
Well, when you're 25, first off, you think you're invincible. I think that's just part of being young. That's youth. And so I kid that at 25, Lance Armstrong and I have now two things in common. First of all is that we both ended up battling the same type of cancer, and secondly, we had the same doctor that treated us. The difference is that back then, the treatment options that I had were in their infancy and weren't necessarily proven out. And so at 25, I was faced with, I would think, probably the worst diagnosis anyone could hear in their lifetime. I think the three worst words you could ever hear in your life are, you have cancer. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I certainly didn't know what my options were, and I was not planning any of this. But it fundamentally changed my outlook not only on life, but my outlook on what I would be doing with my life in future years. And it wasn't maybe 15 years later now that this opportunity called the Van Andel Institute presented itself. And who would have thunk that a personal experience with cancer would lead me into this industry? I certainly didn't think that when I was younger, that this was a direction I would go with my life. But having lived through all that, I can certainly see how God's hand played a role here, and other things in my life led me to this point, and I wouldn't be any place different than I am right now, given that. So it really did, if you want to say, make a left turn in my life, a right turn in my life, whatever, it made a significant change in my life that today I continue to follow as a result. Thank God for Larry Einhorn, the fellow that treated me down in Indiana, and the fact that he was on to something long before others were, and that wasn't the end of the story, but that was perhaps the beginning of the story, at least as it relates in my life. And then given the opportunity with the discussion I had with my parents to be able to engage and start an institute such as we have, to be able to pursue something that I would have a passion for and wanting to be able to try to eradicate this insidious disease. I'm really happy to be there.
Also in the lobby is a quote from your dad. "I can think of no better way to touch the lives of people than to support medical research that extends human life and reduces pain and suffering, God helping us." J. Van Andel. God has the cure for cancer, David. Why haven't we found that cure yet?
Because it's a lot more complex than we can understand. I think what we're finding today is that we perhaps have been approaching the problem from the wrong perspective. And it's in the last 5 years especially that the amount of data and the amount of scientific data and information being generated has increased substantially to the point where we're now beginning to understand completely differently some of these problems that have been perplexing us for a number of years. You know, we declared war on cancer in this country 40 years ago. And by some measure, we've made great progress. But by some other measures, we've not gotten as far as we deserve to be. And I think part of that is it's a lot more complex than we gave it credit. But also, we may not have been approaching it from the right perspective in the beginning. And now we're beginning to see it a little differently, and I think you're going to start to see some dramatic shifts on that front as a result.
We're talking to David Van Andel. If you want to learn more, www.vai.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with one of the leaders of Grand Rapids, David Van Andel. David, when we were young, there was very little cancer, and surely no young people got cancer. So many young people today. Why is that, and what do we do about it?
First, I think that's the biggest negative about cancer is that it doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care if you're young or old, if you're black or white, if you're rich or poor, or doesn't care what your beliefs are. It can strike at any time. And you're right. There are children as young as 2 years old that suffer with pediatric cancers. And there seems to be a higher incidence rate of cancer than there used to be. And, you know, statistics aren't that much different, but there just seems to be that. Part of that is because we're living longer than we have in the past. Part of that is because we're also able to eradicate some of those types of cancers, but not all. And I think what we're seeing is also a heightened awareness of the different types of things that are considered cancers and the ability to even be able to detect those types of cancers. What that all means, though, is that we have to develop not only better tools to detect, but also better tools to be able to arrest or eradicate what's happening. It is difficult when you're dealing, though, with a pediatric cancer, because now you're dealing with a very young patient And emotionally, it's very difficult to see a child have to go through what we always accepted maybe perhaps an older person might be expected to have to face. And you want to begin to understand fundamentally why, and then you have to begin down the process of trying to figure out what can we do to reverse that. One surprising thing that we find, though, is that children are very resilient, and that depending on, you know, what the treatment might be, they're actually pretty hardy little souls. They'll go through quite a bit. They don't necessarily understand it all, but they'll go through quite a bit. But I think it's obligatory for us to try to figure out ways that we not only can eradicate these things, but maybe even prevent them from happening. I'm one of those that firmly believes that prevention long term is going to be the solution to a lot of these types of problems. We can't wait until people get sick before we try to solve the problem. We have to figure out ways to keep people from getting to that point if we ever want to get ahead of this thing. And we're beginning to understand now some of the genetic and other, you know, fundamental causes of some of these diseases, and some of them appear to have some commonality. And if we can unlock some of those mysteries a little further, I'm absolutely convinced that we can get to a point where we can start to put together prevention regimens that will have much more meaningful impact. And I think that's the way that we can try to eradicate some of this. It is just horrible to see a two-year-old or a three-year-old struggle through something like this. It's just not right, and you desperately want to do something about it.
We're talking to David Van Andel. David, talk to us, if you will, about the Van Andel Institute researchers.
Well, interesting thing is that we have a research staff that literally is from around the globe. I have 19 different countries represented in the profiles of our research staff. And what that means is that we have a little mini United Nations, but that we look to find the best and the brightest in what we do and to bring them and put them in an environment where we want them to be able to prosper and to be productive. They're very inspiring because each of them brings, as you can well imagine, a very unique and specific talent to the table that helps in unlocking the overall mysteries. We do everything from basic research to translational research. We are definitely focused in on multiple different types of cancers, including pediatric and others. We're also focused in neurodegenerative diseases and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and trying to unlock some of those mysteries. And I'm convinced in some of the areas where we're working that we're going to see some great things happen here very soon. Just because every day these people are making, you know, sometimes small discoveries, sometimes a bigger discovery that are unlocking a lot of things that have been mysterious to us in the past. I keep saying that, but this is really like a big puzzle, you know, and if you think about putting together a big jigsaw puzzle, you think how hard that is. Well, what if you had to put together a big jigsaw puzzle, but you had to do it in the dark? It would be even harder, and that's kind of what we're doing here. We're working with this big jigsaw puzzle of life, trying to figure out what all these pieces do and why they're important, but in some cases we've been having to do this in the dark, and we're trying to shed the light on it to make it easier so that we can put this puzzle together a little faster, and that's what these people are doing. They are very inspiring, and I love walking through the labs and seeing what everybody's doing because it's just phenomenal, the passion that they each carry for what they do because they know that it has a greater impact than just on themselves. And that's, to me, something that keeps me going.
Every one of us has crosses to bear in life. And for the last 15 years of your mom's life, it was Alzheimer's. The last 10 years of your dad's life, Parkinson's. What did your mom and dad teach you as they took on those crosses at the end of their lives?
Maybe the biggest thing is don't complain. You're not the only one with a cross to bear in life. You're not the only one that's facing struggles. You're not the only one that has challenges. And it doesn't give you the right to complain about it. Quietly go about your business. But I think the biggest thing it taught me in watching that was is that you can get mad about it or you can do something about it. And I've chosen to do something about it and trying to make a difference so that somebody else will not have to face the same type of situation. I think that's part of what they taught me in my formidable years is that, you know, there are people that talk about things, but there are also people that do things. You need to be one of those that's in the category of doing things and figure out what it is that you should be doing, but go do it. And I was inspired by them to do something about it, and I would like to think that we're making a difference. I know we're making a difference because we are helping people on a daily basis in a lot of different ways. But they inspired me to want to dedicate my energies to making a difference for somebody else.
And as a result of that, as you mentioned in a previous segment, the Van Andel Institute has expanded into the neurosciences of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Can you talk about those two diseases?
Yeah, they're a little bit like what we sometimes call orphan diseases, in that a lot of the focus, especially in this country over the past several decades, has certainly been on cancer. You know, like I mentioned, you know, Nixon declaring the war on cancer 40 years plus ago. We've poured a lot of money and energy and effort into trying to find and unlock the mystery of cancer and eradicate that disease. And what has unfortunately happened along the way is there are a lot of other diseases, such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, that haven't necessarily gotten the attention that they deserve. Now, as our baby boomer generation is beginning to age and get towards later years of life, you're going to see an increased incident rate of these types of diseases. And it becomes more of a burden overall, societal-wise. What I am intrigued about, though, is the fact that I think that because they haven't had as much attention as they deserve, any amount of attention that we give them this point going forward is going to begin to yield significant results. And I'm convinced that if we focus our energies in these areas, similar to what we've done in cancer, that Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are going to yield some significant returns on that effort. And so I'm excited because we're going to make a significant effort against two diseases that I've seen up close, but in a way that I think is going to yield some good results fairly quickly.
We're talking to David Van Andel, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to David Van Andel, who's also the co-owner and chairman of the Grand Rapids Griffins. David, you've met a lot of very special people in your life. Was there one or two that you left saying, wow?
Well, there are a lot of people that touch me in different ways, but I think one of the most prominent names that I met in my lifetime that I was impressed with was probably President Reagan. Very unique individual, but a very inspiring individual. And one of the things that I liked about President Reagan was that he was always a half-full kind of a guy. Glass is always half-full. He was always an optimist. He was always uplifting. And he tried to, I think, instill, especially in the country, a sense of optimism, a sense that the best is not behind us. The best is in front of us. We have the ability to capture greatness, and we need to be inspired by the fact that we can accomplish anything we want to. And I always was impressed, especially meeting him in person, that he carried that optimism forward in literally everything, I think, that he did in his lifetime.
A couple of months ago, you had the honor of being in Dallas for the dedication of the George W. Bush Library, and you saw the five living presidents together. What was that like?
Yeah, how cool is that, to see five living presidents on the same stage together? It gives you a sense of incredible patriotism, perhaps, but also acknowledging the fact that we live in a wonderful democracy where you can have five leaders, literally, of the high stature in the land coexist in that you know, that transfer of power on a regular basis that occurs through the election cycle is one that doesn't have to be done, you know, through a violent means as it is in some other areas of the world. We're really fortunate to live in a country that you know, has the personal freedoms that we still enjoy, but also has the ability for our political leaders to be able to participate at the level that they do and continue to live their lives in meaningful ways and to be able to do things even after their service to country that continues to impact people in significant ways. And it was really neat to see all five of them, the current president and four previous presidents, all participate in a function like that.
Speaking of wow, anybody that goes to Grand Rapids downtown, they see this health mecca, this miracle mile, with $1 billion in infrastructure. How did that happen?
Well, as they say, it takes a seed to grow a tree or to grow anything significant. And in this case, this is a unique thing. There was not a master plan, if you will, that said, okay, here's all the things we're going to do that everybody agreed to ahead of time. But there were some of us that saw that opportunity, and I'd like to think that by placing the Institute where we did, we perhaps got people to see things a little bit differently, which started a progression of events, a lot of independent thought that began to build around a common theme. And as a result of that, we attracted a lot of different things in this place, and they've all been focused in on the life sciences. And you see now, after a dozen years or so, the difference that one decision has made. Because I got to tell you, 20 years ago, if you wanted to talk life sciences in Grand Rapids, nobody would know what you were talking about. But today, you can see not only the infrastructure, but the people that we're attracting and the activities and the business that's transpiring because of that. And we've definitely changed not only the landscape, but also the conversation as it relates to life sciences.
Some of our listeners may say, you know, it's easy for this man to be this optimistic. You know, he's never had any setbacks in his life. His mom and dad never had any failures. Everything was a rainbow every day. You've experienced great failures in your mom and dad. Can you talk about some of those failures and what they taught you?
I think anybody that says they've never failed in life is probably lying, but everybody has had failures along the way somewhere. And the important thing is, as my father especially taught me, is that it's not the act of failing that's the problem. It's you've got to make sure that you learn from that experience. In fact, to some degree, if you don't fail, it might be even harder for you to be better at what you want to be doing than you know, the other way around. He obviously had, you know, other things that he did long before Amway that weren't successful. Otherwise, you know, he'd probably still be doing those. But they taught him things. And the same goes for each one of us. You know, I've had setbacks in my life, too, of different things. But the most important key in all of that is you've got to learn from it. Learn what you did wrong, make the adjustments, and don't repeat the same mistakes. And if you can build on those failures, eventually you end up seeing success. Because the line between success and failure is not a very big line. You'd be surprised just how close the two are to each other. And it doesn't take that much difference in some cases to see success where you might be seeing failure at a particular time. So the key, though, is you have to learn from it.
Do you believe, David Van Andel, that America's greatest days are still ahead of us?
I don't think we've ever truly tapped the total potential that this democracy has. We've certainly, in some cases, tried to limit it, but I don't think we've ever yet seen the true potential that this democracy has in store. And from that standpoint, I would say yes, I think that our best days continue to be in front of us if we're willing to go after them.
David Van Andel, as our time winds down, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
I think the biggest thing to know, and I tell this to college kids, is that it's okay if you don't know exactly today what you want to do with your life. But you have to set about a course of trying to figure out, and from my perspective, what God has intended for you in your life and figure out where it is that you need to be. Some people call that following your heart, following, you know, what your passion is, all of those types of things. But experience, you know, many different things so that you can figure out what are those things that excite you, what are those things that will get you out of bed in the morning and want to make a difference. If you can apply them in such a way that they help somebody else, that they better somebody else's life, more power to you, because I don't think there's any better thing you can do in life than to help someone else along in life. But don't be worried that if you're 21 years old, you don't have all the answers of what you want to do. Do, however, set about a course of trying to figure out where you need to be and how you can get to that answer. And eventually, you're going to find it. And that's when you're going to find the happiness that goes along with it as well.
David Van Andel, for you, all your team at Van Andel Institute, thanks a million for what you're doing. Please keep up the great work.
Jack, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken. Yeah, yeah.